welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, there we go. Hello, welcome to episode 386, I think it is, of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you, Sean? How's the cough? I shouldn't laugh.
It's getting there. I mean, as in getting better. My mate Alan, who's the herbalist, has provided me with some herbal potions to take.
How do you take those? I dare to think. Which end are they going?
They go in this end.
Okay, that's good to know.
I've got 1,000 of those to take.
1,000? Yeah. How long will it take you to get through there?
You start off with 6 a day, then go to 8 a day, you get up to 10 a day, and it's to do with the fatigue and regenerating your system, getting your system going again.
Wow.
So,
okay.
So I will let you know how I get on. If you see me going, then you know.
Yeah, no. What is it? Is there a bit of caffeine in there, or what's it? What's inside?
No, it's a herbal thing called Fafia.
Okay, cool.
So we're working on recharging the mitochondria in the cells, getting the energy back.
Well, Lord knows that we need all the energy we can get at the moment, because the world's gone crazy, ain't it? We're talking about. Well, I've tentatively titled this All You Need Is Love, because from my little discussion with Sean here before we came on, I'm sensing that there's a bit of anger and hostility in the world at the moment, and we need to just kind of love one another and chill out a little bit. But yeah, the world's gone mad, eh, Sean?
Yeah. And the thing is, it does concern me. I know I've been saying this for several episodes now. You know, like I'm concerned by how easy it is for people to jump in on the negative and then take it out on the other people around them, you know. It's always like, you know, those phrases, like you always hurt the one you love. It's easier to kind of go for people around you. And I'm getting it more and more. And people getting really angry with people around them. And it's like,
we'll come into this in a bit. Maybe we're just now starting to see the impacts of, you know, more people are working from home. We're kind of spending more time with our loved ones when, you know, usually we'd be apart from them maybe for 7 or 8 hours a day, a bit longer. We're kind of cooped up with the same people over and over again. We're running a bit of a strange experiment at the moment, aren't we, on planet Earth? And no one knows how it's going to play out or where it's taking us, do they?
One of the things that I wonder, and this is a kind of an off-the-wall wondering, is... We talk about the honeymoon period in relationships where people get together and everyone's loved up and they're doing the best they can for each other. And then they get to the end of the honeymoon period and like it goes a bit kind of, yeah? And people say that you don't see what someone's really like until you get to the end of the honeymoon period. And what I'm wondering is, I'm working with a lot of people who a few months ago came over as really placid, nice and easygoing people who are now really, really on the edge, you know. And and they've gone from, you know, Boris Johnson's a twit to I want to cut him up and eat him in a pie, you know, kind of attitudes. It's changed. Mm-hmm. And is it that the pressure of the virus and the pressure of the lockdown finally means that people start to become the real self behind the social niceties? You know, is it coming out? And I think, oh, you know, is that the kind of thing where the fabric of society starts to fray at the edges? You know.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we'll document, you know, in the show in the coming weeks and months. But you know, I'm just endlessly fascinated by it. And you know, I'm hands up. You know, I'm living in this perfect little bubble, really, where my work has quietened off a little bit, but my wife's a teacher, so, you know, we haven't got, well, there's a bit of news this week, isn't there, about just kids that aren't able to kind of be fed through half term without preschool meals, which isn't something that, you know, I have to deal with, because we're fortunate enough that we can, yeah, we don't have any problems, you know, nipping the shops and picking up bits and bobs when we need to. I'm empathetic to those problems, but at the same time, I'm just like, there's so much madness going on in the world that I don't feel as if it's that productive a thing to do just to get really cross about everything and get absolutely worked up into a frenzy all the time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to link to, just before I go on, I've got a bit of happy news. So William, my little lad, did his 200 miles in six days bike challenge.
Amazing.
In September, and I've finally put together a little film of how he got on and how he did it, that kind of thing. So it's just 3-4 minutes. But if you're looking for something to brighten your day,
yeah, that's what we need. We need some brightens.
Yeah, I'll stick the YouTube link in the show notes. So have a look, and there is still time to donate. It's actually raised nearly £20,000 in total. The whole challenge, William has raised about 500-600, I think, including the gift aid. From friends and family, and including a few from this show, which I appreciate. So, yeah. But a bit more in the pot wouldn't go amiss, I'm sure. It's a very worthy cause. Sean, come on then. So we're talking about love today and empathy and then the need for it now more than ever. So without naming names and stuff, as ever, you're sensing a little bit of, the fabric of civilization is fracturing. Is that too dramatic?
Yeah. Well, this is the question I'm asked this week by someone who is a very mild-mannered person, but has become highly energized. Right. So I'll bleep the F words, but it was like, this effing COVID is driving me effing mad. I feel so frustrated. How can I stop feeling so effing angry about everything and everybody? Yeah. So, and that's a really interesting statement, because you've got somebody who has kind of lost it in terms of all the social niceties that come off, because I'm just telling you what I feel, right? But also there's the inside, but how can I change this? So there are the two things running alongside each other. But that sense of who can I blame for this now? That's what I'm getting. And it's like on every news thing, I know you're avoiding the news, but it's like every politician is bashing the other politician. We're trying to bash anybody that we can. And it's so difficult. It's like the only way that we will survive this, and the only way that we will survive as human beings, is if we come together and solve problems. And it's like we spend our lives pushing each other apart and creating more enmity and more negativity. And it's like, we need to stop it and come together. Mm. Yeah. The answer to our problems is so simple. And yet for some reason, we don't seem to be able to do it. It's like,
you've been at this game for a long time, man, 30, 40 years doing your thing as a therapist. I mean, you must have some sense of acceptance that there's only so much you can do and to nudge people in the right direction.
People talk about watching a train crash. It's like you can't run out the front of the train and stop it. There comes a point where you have to sit down and accept the fact that certain things are going to happen. Yeah. Now, we don't know which way this river's flowing. We don't know which way it's going to go. Several of the scenarios go straight over waterfalls onto jagged rocks on the bottom. If we're not careful, it's like we might find the nice easy route round. But the way that we're going, we are full of so much conflict about things. And the biggest thing that I'm getting, and I put it here in the blog, which is, for me, forgiveness is the application of love over retribution, because it's the retribution bit that I'm hearing. It's like it's negativity, but it's like somebody needs to pay for this. Someone needs to this, someone needs to that. And it's like, it's almost like people want public floggings and public hangings again to justify what's going on.
Yeah,
are we going to get to that kind of point? I don't know.
Again, it's not something I've followed up deliberately. I've kind of swerved the news that much, but there's someone called Dido Harding who's kind of I think she's the lady responsible for the track and trace system in the UK or something like that. Which obviously hasn't been going according to plan too well in the UK. There doesn't seem to be a huge amount of empathy towards her, and I can see why people want to jump on her and kind of get her sacked and get her fired so we can move on and get the next person in that we can jump on them instead. It just doesn't seem. Yeah. Maybe she's awful at her job. Maybe she's done a terrible job. I've only seen short videos of her talking, but she seems like a decent person that's probably trying to do her best. Why do you think we struggle to recognize that so often, and we just kind of jump down people's throats so easily?
I think it's the attitude of what I call them, they've done it again, you can't trust them, can you? There's always this them that isn't us that's responsible for all the bad things that happen to us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whether them is the politicians or the police, or whether it's different ethnicities or orientations, it's them. And if it wasn't for them, we'd all be all right, wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so much easier to blame them than to actually take responsibility yourself and do something. If people are sat at home wanting someone to do something for them, what are they going out and doing for other people? I mean, Marcus Rashford is a real example, I guess, of somebody who didn't have to, but because of his own experience, he had the empathy, so he was empathic about it. But he's got off his butt and he has sorted something out for kids who are going to be in the situation that he was in. Isn't that a wonderful example of somebody doing something and motivating other people to get up and do stuff, rather than thinking, he could be saying, let's all go and hang the government on the lampposts, or he could go and do what he's done, which is inspire other people to start providing meals. I mean, the amount of restaurants and pubs and all kinds of things, they're actually now sharing food and creating meals for kids that are in poverty.
Amazing.
That's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. So is Marcus Rashford like the modern day like Mother Teresa? He just instinctively. I'm really impressed with him. Like the way I see him talking about it, and maybe that's me just kind of assuming that a footballer, especially a young footballer, shouldn't be able to speak that eloquently and be this kind of up to speed on how to handle it.
That's a very judgmental statement.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's obviously, yeah. I think a lot of people underestimated him, didn't they? And he's...
Yeah. What a lovely guy.
Incredible. Yeah, he's absolutely... Yeah. And in between all this, last week in Paris, he banged in a winning goal against Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League. He's a super talented footballer. And he seems to have a lot of empathy. I'm not seeing much... I'm not following him on Twitter, and I'm not following the story that closely, just for my own mental health. But... He doesn't seem to be angry with anyone. He's not kind of fuming and being in the press about this person did that, having a go at Boris Johnson. He seems genuinely just want to do the right thing and get it done the right way. So yeah, massively impressed with that fella.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And I was thinking the other day, I was listening to a bunch of people watching a Trump thing and they were all being not very complimentary about Mr. Trump. And I'm thinking, what would the difference be if we actually sat down and tried to find positive things about people? There are positive things about everybody.
Yeah, well, we've been guilty in the past maybe of being a little bit liberal-leaning and, having a pop at Trump and Brexit and all that stuff. We are kind of reaching a point in a week where the news cycle is going to be dominated by the election in America, and that's going to be very divisive. So that's going to be fun as well. What can you see in Trump that you think is, there must be some shards of light there on him?
I think that he has to be a very clever financial magnet, as in attracts money to him to have done what he's done. And Imagine if somebody with that level of energy and commitment to wealth was prepared to do what Marcus Rashford is doing now.
Mm.
Yeah, and maybe that's the point. I mean, Mother Teresa was called Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Now, Mother Teresa, if you actually got into her, is quite an egotist. She was quite, not exactly up her own backside, but she was quite powerful as a personality in that sense. Yeah. The difference was that she included all the poor of Calcutta in her ego and treated them as though they were herself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what someone like Trump does is he's got this massive ego, but he uses it to exclude people out and very clearly say, these are not myself. These are not me. Yeah. So and I think that's the difference, is you can use the power that you have, whether it's physical power, social power, intellectual power, emotional power, doesn't matter what the power is. You can either use it to create good or ill. Yeah.
Yep.
If you put your energy into loving things and loving ways of being, that draws people together, which is what Marcus has done.
Yeah.
If you put your energy into negative things like hatred, yeah, then it pushes people apart. And I think that in many ways, God bless him, that's what Trump has been doing. You know, this isn't the virus, it's the Chinese flu. You know, it's the Chinese illness, it's the Chinese, you know, who can we blame for this? They become them again. You know, and as long as we as human beings keep talking about them, whether it's the people next door, the people in the next town, the other football team, it doesn't matter who they are. As long as we have thems to blame, we will never come together as a race of beings that can cooperate and work together. We have to stop having them and us. We all have to be us. Vote for Sean. All become us.
No. If only you were on the ballot next week in America, eh?
We'd
go down a storm over there. why is it so easy to hate things? And why is it? It's kind of an addictive feeling to kind of want to hate and take that negative route instead of the positive one. What is it?
But that's the natural negative bias in human beings, which is we think negatively first. Assumption being in evolution that's because how we survived. That's how we protected ourselves. We would think negatively and worry about things, therefore we'd be safe. Yeah, and that has become completely out of proportion to where we are now. Yeah, there's no reason anybody should fear anything if we all just look after each other.
Yeah, and I mean, it comes on to that those negative feelings we have an impact on the physicality of our bodies, isn't it? And it can impact our immune system even. So, you know, right at the point in the world where we need our immune systems more than ever to be healthy, you know, we're projecting, maybe you can speak more about the science of this stuff, but we need to be healthy more than ever at the moment, don't we?
So it's the issue for me about our brain is full of endorphins, and they're either happy endorphins or unhappy endorphins. And in that sense of thoughts become things, the things we think about and the things we focus on affect our brain chemistry. And our brain chemistry affects our whole body, every cell in our body. There is so much evidence out there that people that are positive and have a positive outlook do have more robust immune systems and stay healthier longer. Or if they do get ill, or even if they die, it's a much more of a positive experience. Yeah, right. And because we are all going to get there, but we can do it positively or negatively.
Yeah.
I mean, again, we're back into the them issue. The amount of times I've had to work with families or individuals who want to blame the doctor because their relative has died. Yeah. Now, the relative was going to die anyway, probably. Yeah. And yes, okay, you are going to get cases of negligence. But in most cases, it's almost like we now think that the hospital is like some kind of magician's palace where you can take people in and someone's going to wave magic wands and you're going to come out the other side, you know. And it's not like that, and certainly not like that in the virus, you know.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, talk about your personal. I did a podcast with Tanya, my other Rethink podcast, and we were talking about personal responsibility and how it was from her. She was getting a bit frustrated with the amount of NHS posters in people's windows who, you know, proclaim to love the NHS. But if they really loved the NHS, they would do more to take care of themselves physically and mentally every day, instead of, you know, eating certain things, you know, not getting enough physical activity, that kind of thing. So it's, yeah, I mean, the world's gotten a little bit easy, hasn't it, and a bit soft. Maybe we need to take a bit more responsibility for ourselves.
I was reading some stuff the other day about the 10,000 step issue. You know, you take 10,000 steps a day, which should have been 15, apparently, but they cut it down to 10 because they thought it would be more acceptable to people. But the 10,000 steps only works if you do it with a trot on. You've got to do it like you mean it. You've got to get your heart rate up. You can take 10,000 steps and stroll around the block and have very little effect on your system.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You need to raise your heart rate.
You need to get your heart rate.
So it's not just the steps, it's how you do them.
Ooh, right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I've read that the 10,000 steps doesn't necessarily do anything. Yeah. So maybe that's linked to that. It's kind of a catchy thing, and it's in people's heads already, isn't it? So it's hard to undo that. But I wonder what.
Well, if you do 10,000 steps, that's one whole size better than doing nothing, which is good. But if you're going to do 10,000 steps, do it with a trot on. You know? Yeah. Imagine you're going somewhere. You don't, you know, not just taking a stroll.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it will really affect your system.
Mm. Yeah? All right. I'm going to link to my resource of the week, a blog post. Quite a long form essay on New York Times about how to be more empathetic, which has got some really cool stats and tips in there, and even it goes into kind of teaching empathy in children from an early age, which is really worthwhile. We could do a whole episode about that maybe in the coming weeks as well. But yeah, what do you want to link to, Sean, or what's your resource?
I'm going back to step one. I mean, it's on the site, isn't it? To get the book. The issue for me is this person who was telling me this stuff about, you know, they wanted to kill everybody. And then, you know, how can I do it? And I'm saying, well, you need to go and forgive everybody. You need to go back and do step one. So the response is, well, you always say that, don't you? Now, the thing in that is that the reason I say it is because it's true. That if you do get into forgiveness and loving forgiveness and compassionate love and forgiveness, then your body chemistry changes, your brain chemistry changes, and you feel better. Your immune system is stronger, and the whole world gets better from you feeling positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true. And it's scientifically true, it's psychologically true, it's emotionally true. Yeah. Now, if you don't do it, you can read the book. You can go on the course. I have loads of books here, but if you don't actually do what it says in these books, you know what? They don't have any effect. Yeah. And you can buy as many books as you want and listen to as many recordings as you want. But if you don't actually do it, nothing changes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the point here. And like I say, what I got when I said it again, because I'd said it before to this person, then I got the tut and the rolled eyes. You know, yeah. Now, you ought to call me Mr. Cliche or something, but I say the same things over and over again, not because I'm a repetitive twit, but because they're true. Yeah. And if we did them, the world would be different. You know, that idea of kind of love your neighbor as yourself is a really real thing. If we actually did that, the world would change. But if we sit there thinking and just having lots of negative rumination about things and people,
ain't nothing going to change.
Thoughts become things. No. Yeah.
All right.
You got to be positive.
Yeah, you got to be. We'll have a more upbeat one next week. Well, this has been a tough one, but yeah. But tough times, eh? But yeah, we'll get through it. Well, I mean, I know plenty of people that are fine in the world as well. We do tend to only hear about the people that are struggling, and we help where we can. But yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on in the world still, isn't there?
But just look at the Marcus Rashford stuff. You know, all And I'm astounded how all the people around the world, around Britain, have responded. You know, the amount of organisation, the amount of restaurants, you know, pubs that have said, okay, we can't do what we normally do. Let's switch on to providing things for kids. You know, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. If we could just take that lovely feeling, that positive feeling, into the other bits of life. Yeah. I mean, I say to people a lot, okay, go on, tell me something good. Tell me something good. Anything. Tell me something good. Ed, tell me something good.
Yeah, we raised 500 quid for charity through Me Little Lads. Around the world. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, and all those lovely people that contributed to that. Yeah. There's always something good if we tune in that way. But if we turn into the negative, it's like, you know?
Cool. All right, we'll leave it at that. Sean, thanks for your time. Okay. A blog post
keep
on the
smiling.
Website.
Yeah.
As ever, get in touch if there's anything you would like us to discuss in an upcoming show. And Sean, I'll catch you next week, eh? You take it easy.
Yeah, you take care.
See you around.
Bye. Bye.